We have two scripture readings this morning for our message. The first is found in your pew Bibles on page 1079. The reference is Acts chapter 20, and we'll be starting in verse 17. That's page 1079, Acts chapter 20, verse 17. And I'll be reading through to verse 24. This is Paul on his way back to Jerusalem, speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus for the final time. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." Our second reading is from 2 Corinthians, and it's found on page 1121, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. 2 Corinthians 4:13, and we'll be reading to the last to the end of the chapter. That's page 1121. Paul writes, "It is written, 'I believed, therefore, I have spoken,' Psalm 116. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This is the word of the Lord. Please bow with me for prayer. Father, undergird our brother Mark as he brings his exposition of your word to us this morning. By your Spirit, speak to each and every one of us in our hearts, and bring us to repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
At our elders' meeting last Tuesday night, Neil reminded us in our discussion of what to do about a prospective interim associate pastor, one Uri Hooker. He reminded us what Max Lucado had written about the parable of the two sons. He wasn't connecting Uri with the prodigal, but Max did write about the prodigal in this sense. And the thing that Max wrote was, mercy gave the prodigal a second chance, but grace threw him a party. In his piece, Grace Gives More, Lucado wrote more about the extent of mercy and grace. Quoting here, mercy gave Ruth some food. Grace gave her a husband and a home. Mercy gave the prodigal son a second chance, but grace threw him a party. Mercy prompted the Samaritan to bandage the wounds of a victim, but grace prompted him to leave his credit card as payment for the victim's care. Mercy forgave the thief on the cross, but grace escorted him into paradise. As we begin this morning, let's note that thinking through the dual lenses of mercy and grace is fundamental, both to a Christian worldview, but also to an appropriate biblical practice of our faith. To the extent that we can think and act from motives of mercy and grace, the more Christian we become. Let's also not forget that thinking this way, which is thoroughly supported by the truth of the whole Bible, does not set mercy and grace against each other or value one more than the other. As God always works, the one, mercy, complements the other, grace, and vice versa. They are not in competition with each other. They are complementing each other. And really, both of them need each other to fulfill each's purpose, mercy and grace. These months we've been processing from 2 Corinthians how it is that we can and we should live out the gospel of Jesus Christ as his people in our place and time. We're finding that God's people live out the gospel by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we do so as his church, as his family, or rather, we could say, as a local expression of his church known as Bethesda. Now, by using multiple scripture readings, we try to show that we're not just taking a verse or two or three and making wrong doctrinal conclusions by proof text. If you've never heard that phrase, proof texting is when we believe something or want to believe something, or we have something to say, especially preachers. So we rummage through the Bible to take a verse or a passage out of context to prove falsely what we want to say. This is why we take a whole Bible approach. We even prefer to take whole books to teach and preach through because it gives us a better chance of saying what God has already said, because we're interested in learning, in believing, and in applying the truth of God's whole word. Finally, we believe the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, to be the written and authoritative word of God to us, and not only to us, but to all humanity. We also believe Jesus Christ to be the supreme expression of God's word, as he is the Word made flesh. And we believe the Holy Spirit is the very Spirit of God, dwelling within and among God's people, his church, and the Spirit illumines, or he reveals to us, the truth of and the life in God's whole word. Now, I've said all of that to say this. The connection between our Old Testament passage that Uri shared with us at the top of our worship and our sermon text is that our sermon text cites Psalm 116 and verse 10 And it actually orients us in a direction quite different than we might otherwise have gone. We'll also see the connection between the historical narrative of Acts 20 and our sermon text, and that connection is the biblically necessary and self-sacrificial commitment that mercy and grace make to extend second chances to losers like us and to throw parties for equally unlikely recipients. The Apostle Paul wrote the words of our 2 Corinthians chapter 4 sermon text. He also spoke the words recorded for us in Acts 20 that Yuri read just a bit ago. Speaking to the Ephesian elders for the last time, before he went to Jerusalem and ultimately to his death, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 18, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Mercy and grace always flow from God through the sacrificial hearts, minds, and bodies. For example, our hands and feet, our speech, the body of Jesus Christ on the cross, as well as the enlightened speech of human beings in a setting like this, that the Holy Spirit takes God's truth and speaks it out to those who hear. Paul wasn't bragging about his self-sacrifice in either Acts 20 or 2 Corinthians 4. First, he was urging God's people, the elders at the church at Ephesus, the people at the church of Corinth, and also us, the people in the church at Winnipeg, and he was urging us not to squander his sacrifice for God's glory and their good. But secondly, Paul urges us to follow him and his example as he has followed Christ and Christ's example by investing our temporal lives on earth into works of faith with eternal returns. "I consider my life to be nothing," he said, "if I can just finish out my race, finish my ministry, conclude the calling that Christ has placed upon me." But there's another thing. A third thing, as we get started this morning. Paul was also offering his own integrity. Who of us would do that or could do that? But he offered his own integrity as they knew him to have been among them, as a credible testimony to the truth of what he had preached and taught and what they had believed. Paul did not want them to have believed in vain, such that once he was gone, they went back to their pre-Christian lives, their pre-Christian beliefs, and their pre-Christian practices. What a disastrous waste of Paul's investment in God's mercy and grace that would be. But to the extent Paul had followed faithfully the example of Jesus Christ, he was urging them, and he is urging us as well, to follow his example of depending entirely on the mercy and grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ and in the power and provision of the Holy Spirit to do his work in us. So that's where Paul is, and it's where we've been when we arrive at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, where we read these words. Follow along with me. "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Now, we could read this verse, as most do, in a completely faithful Christian way, as most do, and get it all wrong, as most do, as to Paul's intended meaning. What do I mean by that? When Christians, and especially Christian preachers, read this verse, most assume quite quickly and all too easily that the speaking in view is evangelistic. We're sharing testimony of the gospel with others. We believe in Jesus, so we speak about Jesus, right? Not so much. Before we continue, I should note that mine is a minority opinion. In fact, I checked with a couple of evangelical commentators who I normally trust as reliable exegetes of the Bible, but I looked up this passage, and the heading was, no kidding, here it is, witnessing in spite of persecution. I don't find that in this text. So look with me briefly to Psalm 116 in your Bibles. Psalm 116, Yuri read it at the top of the service. As we noted earlier, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4 cites Psalm 116:10. I believed, and so I spoke. And this gives us keen insight into what Paul is getting at when he says about himself and all Christians, we also believe, and so we also speak. Follow along with me in Psalm 116 as I read from the NIV, just from verse 7 to save a bit of time. Here's the psalmist, verse 7, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Here's a hint. This is an internal conversation. Do you see that? Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Verse 8. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death. Hint, now it's an internal prayer to the Lord, right? So he goes from speaking to himself internally to speaking to the Lord in a prayer. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Here's another hint. As a result of the Lord's faithfulness, verse 10, I believed. Therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. The psalmist is not at all talking about giving testimony to unbelievers or even sharing his travail with other believers. The psalmist is speaking to himself and also to Yahweh, the Lord. And he's doing so by faith and hope, yes, but also out of his affliction and dismay. To summarize, I believed in Yahweh, the Lord. I believed in his mercy. I believed him able to deliver me, so I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I believed in the truth of God's word, so in my dismay I said, all men are liars. You see that? Deliver me, Lord. Protect me, Lord. Rescue me, Lord. Be with me, Lord. I trust you above all others, including myself. I believe in you and your word. I do not and I will not believe the liars and their lies. This is what the psalmist is saying. I believe this is also what Paul is saying when he cites Psalm 116. I believe the Lord is present. I believe he is able. I believe he cares. I believe he is willing. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And so I speak my confession of faith, crying out to him in my distress, in my affliction, in my fear and anxiety, and in my need. I believe, and so I speak. Do you see that? So if we do just a little background study, and if we then apply that meaning to Paul's citation of Psalm 116:10 and 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, it makes perfect sense. Because we believe in the God to whom the psalmist cried out in his affliction, with the same spirit of faith, Paul says, with the same spirit of faith, because we believe in the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, we have served both our Lord Jesus Christ and you with faith and hope beyond ourselves. And we are looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises on into eternity. Amen. Question. If we're concerned with a whole Bible approach to say today what the Bible actually means, where do we get the God who raised Jesus from the dead in this passage? That's a very good question. Look with me just a couple of verses back to verses 11 and 12 in 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Then verses 13 and 14. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus would raise us up also, or will raise us up also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. This is not teaching about evangelism. This is teaching about our security in Christ, and that though anything happened to us, we are secure with him. He will deliver us to his very own presence together. That's the point of the passage. And the Holy Spirit's point as he moved Paul to write is that we Christians have a faith in someone beyond ourselves, or else we're not Christians. And this faith in someone else extends beyond our past, beyond our present, and even beyond future circumstances, or else we're also not Christians. Twice now in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul has appealed to this one upon whom we rely as, quoting here, God who raises the dead. That's chapter 1, verse 9. And then here in chapter 4, verse 14, as he who raised the Lord Jesus. And the point, both times, is that he will also deliver us, both now and into eternity together, which is the focus of this verse. He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. You see that? This is the Christian's ultimate hope. But ours is not only an ultimate hope. It's not only a hope for the sweet by and by. Our hope is not pie in the sky theology. Ours is a present and future hope. In this life, on this earth, in our place in time. Because we have such ultimate hope, we have hope for today. Because we have such ultimate hope, we need not fear any man, king, president, or pope. Because we have such an ultimate hope, we can serve each other, even people who we do not know, across the street and across the sea, in the hope of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, both ours and theirs, and the grace of God to deliver us, ultimately, whether we live or die. This is what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13, on into 16. Finally, this morning, I'm going to stop at verse 15 and the first bit of verse 16 and pick it up with the whole verse of 16 and on into chapter 5 next Sunday. As I got prepared, I thought about all that we're doing today, and I see my time is affirming my very unusual judgment to cut it short. Merry Christmas for next year. We've had quite enough excitement to drink in this morning, I think, and so please allow me to add my welcome and congratulations to Yuri and to his... Where'd Yuri go? He's not here. I'm speaking to him in... Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Anyway, I'm very pleased to add my welcome and congratulations to Yuri, wherever he is. We are very glad that he and his family are here. When he walked through our doors that first time, I was standing in the foyer. I had no idea who he was, and I had no idea what we were in for. Perhaps we still don't. But we believe the Lord Jesus is with us. With us all, and we look forward to the future that we believe he has in store for us and for all who walk through the doors of this facility or come into contact with this ministry. Now, verses 15 and the first part of 16. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Because Paul had given himself fully for the Lord's use, he also, in a sense, gave himself fully to us. And to all those he ministered to, and to all those with whom he ministered, past, present, and future, all the way to us in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, today, some 2,000 years later. And he did so knowing that any ministry offered and received in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is God's mercy and grace. And the result of God's mercy and grace given and God's mercy and grace received in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit is always thanksgiving among all God's people. Glory to God in the highest, and peace among men, as the angels spoke at the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem. Consequently, we don't hold back and we don't lose heart. Even if no one listens and no one responds, we don't hold back and we don't lose heart. Because we believe, and so we speak to the one who listens and responds to us with his presence and his power to sustain. How about you? Do you believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead and that he will raise us up also on the last day? Are you, as a result, speaking to him about your need? Perhaps you're in some kind of affliction. Perhaps you're dismayed by some development in your past or your present. I get that way sometimes too. The first person we should turn to is the ultimate first person, the great I Am. The only one with ultimate answers. In him we believe, so to him we also speak, and we do not lose heart. May we look to him as our only hope and place our whole faith in this one true and living God who raises the dead and causes the life of Jesus to be manifested in our mortal bodies. Christians, local expression of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's believe and let's speak. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for this, your word. Thank you for the encouragement that we receive from your word spoken and received in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to believe and forgive our unbelief. May we know that the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, and in the same spirit as the psalmist when he cried out to the Lord, "I believed and so I spoke, I am in affliction. I believed and so I spoke, all men are liars. I will believe you above all of them." Help us with that same spirit to live and have our being. In Jesus' name, amen.